Now, there are some devotees who are with us this evening who weren't with us yesterday evening. So, for your benefit, a little review or a preparing you for the topic that we're going to be discussing this evening and for the rest of next few days. Krishna appears in this earthly realm, in his original form, as he manifests his pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan, once in a day of Brahma, which is a long time. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that when Krishna manifests his pastimes once in a day of Brahma, there are two aspects to his pastimes. One is nitya, the eternal aspect of his pastimes, and there are some that are occasional, or naimittika pastimes. Examples of the occasional or naimittika pastimes include Krishna having a birth pastime, because in Goloka there's no birth pastime. Another example is in Goloka there's no marriages amongst the gopis, no husbands of the gopis, no children born from the husbands and the gopis. It's absent. In the naimittika pastimes, there are some marriages amongst the gopis and some of the cowherd men. And another example is there's no demons. That's a nice thing to look forward to. There's no demoniac mentality. There's no modes of nature. There's no bad qualities. There's no demons carrying bad qualities in the spiritual world. But when Krishna manifests his pastimes, there are. They're real demons. And Krishna kills them. So, for that purpose, Krishna is showing some special mercy. Here's another feature. Unqualified people can see Krishna's earthly pastimes. They may not understand them, and then they may also get great benefit. We're going to hear what happens at the end of the Shamataka demon, or excuse me, Shakatasura demon's life. He goes back to Godhead. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains there's something very special about these occasional pastimes, and specifically the killing of demons aspect of Krishna's earthly pastimes, in that these pastimes are indicating Krishna's power and his willingness to use that power to protect his devotees, particularly the sadhakas, from difficulties on the paths or obstacles on the path or our own impurities on the path to Krishna. And by hearing them, and there is that special potency, just even if we don't understand the whole thing. But then in addition, he says, the devotees contemplate the purpose of Krishna's pastimes, apparently as he did, and within the purpose there is something of benefit for the practicing devotees, the sadhakas. Because when Krishna appears, it's merciful. He comes for the pleasure of his devotees, and certainly his eternal devotees who descend with him and participate in his pastimes, they're just enjoying rasa. And for others, they're learning how to perform various services. And for some, they're becoming purified just by contact with Krishna. So the benefit for us, conclusion, the benefit for us, why we're spending time with these discussions, is how our own devotional practices can become, to the degree that we're sincere and to the degree that we hear carefully, we can become freed from some impurities of heart on the potency of Krishna's wonderful pastimes. So that was what we heard yesterday evening. This morning, it was a long discussion because our acharyas have commented many, many things on the demoness Putana and Krishna's killing Putana. Putana indicating pseudo teachers and pseudo teachings. And we even spend some time on pseudo devotees in the case of Ekalavya, although he appeared to be a very ardent devotee of Drona. Drona didn't consider that, and Krishna didn't either. So this is now the second demon encountered by Krishna, and Shakatasura is the demon. Shakata, the word means cart. So you see the cart that's piled up around Krishna with all the big metal pots and things. Today's system is you go to a self-storage place. You pay a little money, you get a key, and you can store your stuff. But the system in the time of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, they had a big cart. And that big cart, they piled up big stuff, big heavy pots and utensils and other things that even they were considered valuables. It was like a storage place on a big cart in the backyard, in the corner of the backyard. Now it's also storage sheds. You put one in the backyard and put stuff that you only occasionally use, you put out in the storage shed. We just built one in Gita Nagari. I don't know if you know about that. Because we go there and go there and go there, so they said, why don't you build a storage place? So we did. And it's just for the stuff that we use when we go for Gita Nagari retreats twice a year. Otherwise, it just sits there. So anyway, this is a cart. Shakata. And the beginning of the chapter is kind of like the glories of hearing these pastimes. Come on in and pull up a piece of the rug and join us. Come on in. Just come right in. Come right in. Just come right over. Make yourself comfortable. We heard at the beginning of the Putana pastime that one who hears that pastime with faith and hears it carefully and attentively will develop attachment to Govinda and go back to Godhead just by hearing the Putana story. So here's the beginning of this chapter. Maharaj Pariksit is speaking to Shukadeva Goswami. He's just heard the Putana story in the benediction that comes at the end. My dear, my Lord Shukadeva Goswami, all the various activities exhibited by the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are certainly pleasing to the ear and to the mind. Simply by one's hearing of these activities, the dirty things of one's mind immediately vanish. Generally, we are reluctant to hear about the activities of the Lord, but Krishna's childhood activities are so attractive that they are automatically pleasing to the mind and ear. Thus, one's attachment for hearing about material things, which is the root cause of material existence, vanishes. And one gradually develops devotional service to the Supreme Lord, attachment for Him, and friendship with devotees who give us the contribution of Krishna consciousness. If you think it fit, kindly speak about those activities of the Lord. Sukadeva Goswami replies, when Mother Yashoda's baby was slanting his body to attempt to rise and turn around, time for a festival. This attempt was observed by Vedic ceremony. In such a ceremony called Uttana, which is performed when a child is due to leave the house for the first time, because now they can crawl, they can lift their back and crawl. So it's festival time, and the festival calls for a proper bathing. And this took place when Krishna was just 3 months old. So it was, the first part of it is the ladies' festival. And just so Yashoda was very expert. She knew exactly what to do when the Putana demoness was killed. She knew she didn't have to call for anybody. She knew what to do. And similarly, it's now time for this Uttana festival. And it just so happened, in addition to that 3 month period, it was a conjunction of the moon with the constellation Rohini. So the Rohini star was his birth star, if you remember. When it was time for Krishna's appearance, the heavenly planets adjusted themselves to make it auspicious. And specifically the Rohini planet or constellation shifted. So now it's 3 months later, it's Rohini and the moon are in conjunction. Time for a festival. So, Yashoda was the one performing the ceremony, while in the background there's musicians and there's brahmanas performing Vedic hymns. This is Garga Samhita specifically says. Yashoda, expert in ceremonies, performed the bathing ceremony for her only son with the assembled women to the accompaniment of music, singing, and brahmanas chanting. So when that ceremony was completed, Mother Yashoda duly received the brahmanas, offered valuable items and edibles and cows and garlands in honor of their making auspicious, because it's the Vedic hymns amongst religious families, it's not just the activity itself, the building of the something and the doing of the something. It's the Vedic hymns. So, honoring the brahmanas for having performed that service nicely, she generously offered gifts to them, as is proper. And then they took over and they did their part. There were other rituals that they observed. And in the background, there's musicians also taking part. And Mother Yashoda was observing this nice ceremony, along with Nanda Maharaj. But she was taking the lead The commentary says she took permission from her husband. He was observing. He was a very liberal and gentle personality. He liked that his wife was so expert in these things. And just as her name indicates, Yashoda, she's, whoever has contact with her, she's the giver of yasha or fame. So he was very happy to see her taking part, leading this particular bathing of the small child at 3 months. And after drying him, then the brahmanas did their part. And then after the ceremony was over, Krishna was tired. So she laid Krishna down until he was, and stayed with him until he was completely asleep. But it's not over for the parents when the child goes to sleep, because they have all these guests. And so she was absorbed in receiving the guests and interact with them and treating them with kindness and respect and offering them gifts also, clothing, cows, garlands, and grains. So she was so absorbed like that, she didn't notice that Krishna was hungry. And even a sannyasi knows what that means. The child starts to cry. How else are they supposed to say, I'm hungry? So he was crying. But she couldn't hear because she was busy with all of her guests. And she was very concerned. The commentary specifically says she was anxious that the purpose of the ceremony was auspiciousness, and one creates inauspiciousness by not properly receiving guests. So she was very absorbed for the welfare of her son, not just out of social etiquette, but because of her affection for her son, to create auspiciousness only to properly deal with the guests. So she didn't hear her child crying, and angrily, what children don't get what they want, they throw a little tantrum. So Krishna kicked his legs upwards. Now there's different versions, because this, like I mentioned with the Putana pastime, there's about 10 different authorized shastras that are describing this pastime. Similarly with a shakatas or a demon, there's many, many, many. And then commentaries by our acharyas, and there's the writings are slightly different, but that's okay. It doesn't mean this one's right and that one's wrong. We discussed, it's just there are different appearances of Krishna and different accounts of Krishna's activities, so it's not a contradiction. So in any case, the cart was as higher than his legs. If you think of a 3-month-old child, now Mother Jasoda is not going to put Krishna underneath a cart where it's like practically on top of his body. No mother's going to do that, and certainly Yashoda is not going to do that. There was lots of room between where he was lying down and the cart, much taller than his legs, in other words, a 3-year-old legs. But our acharyas say he didn't do what Vamana did. He didn't extend his leg. He could have, because even his expansion, his lila expansion as Vamana, did like that. Or when there was another demon by the name Hiranyakashipu to be killed, the Lord assumed this fierce form and sharp claws and pinching teeth, and Krishna didn't do that. He exhibited another his mightiness in a different way. So the cart was in off in one corner of the courtyard, and the verses translate, although his little legs were as soft as leaves, when he struck the cart with his legs, it turned over violently and collapsed. Now the cart was heavy. It says later when they were putting it back together, it took many strong men to put all the paraphernalia back onto the cart. And so the cart itself must have been very heavy. I mean, think about it, a 3-month-old child. So Krishna was exhibiting his infinite power, even when he was just 3 months old. The cart went kaboom and flying in all directions, with the axle and the hubs and the spokes and the heavy utensils on top went scattering all over the place. Krishna, simply by touching the hand cart with his legs, made the cart fall to pieces. It was quite possible for him to act in this way and yet not exert himself very much. Of course, there's another little feature of the whole pastime, and that's Shakatasura himself. This is taken from the commentary. In other incarnations, the Lord had to exert some energy in order, according to the time and circumstance. But in this case, effortlessly, Krishna exhibited his supremacy. In the Vaishnava Toshini, this is a commentary by Sanatana Goswami, he remarks that although the handcart was higher than the child could easily touch the wheel of the cart, and this was sufficient to send the demon down to the earth. The Lord, by doing this, simultaneously pushed the demon to the earth and broke the hand cart. So here's the cart with all the stuff on it, and the adults wondering, wow, what happened? One commentary says that the hand cart was actually another form of the Shakatasura, or that Shakatasura had taken shelter of the cart. Some say that way. So Krishna's understanding, not only he was hungry, he wanted his mother's milk, he understood there was a demon taking shelter and hiding himself, concealing himself in this cart with the intention of crushing him. So Krishna didn't like that. So Krishna decided to expose him. So here's a little description of Shakatasura. Having no gross material body other than air, the ghost-like Shakatasura had taken shelter of the handcart and was looking for the opportunity to do mischief to Krishna. When Krishna kicked the cart with his small and very delicate legs, Shakatasura was immediately pushed down to the earth and his shelter dismantled. The demon sent by Kamsa had tried to make the cart fall on Krishna's head. Instead, infant Krishna kicked the cart with the red soles of his foot, and the cart broke into pieces. The demon fell. Leaving his body of air, he attained a pure spiritual body. And after respectfully bowing down before Lord Hari, in a chariot pulled by 100 horses, he went to the Lord's own abode of Goloka. Not bad. Krishna is very kind. When Mother Yashoda and the other ladies who had assembled for the Uttana festival, and all the men headed by Nanda Maharaj, saw the wonderful situation, they began to wonder, how did this happen? How did the cart collapse by itself? They were looking here and looking there, inductive logic, couldn't figure it out. Is this the work of some demon or an evil planet? How did the cart turn over by itself? So some little children, this is a B.G. Sharma painting, little children said, we saw the whole thing. Krishna was hungry and He wanted his mother, and his mother didn't come, and so he raised his little baby feet and kicked the cart, and everything went flying in all directions, and there's no doubt about it. That's why the cart collapsed. The parents thought it was just children's silly talk. They couldn't believe what the children were saying. Here's the children giving their story, the parents listening, thinking, no. Here's another one of the children describing what they saw. By the arrangement of Yogamaya, all the gopas and gopis thought that the accident had taken place because of some bad planet or some ghost, but in fact everything was done by Krishna and enjoyed by him. What does it say on the bottom? Is that the author's name? Artist's name? Fell. The cart fell upside down. So Mother Yashoda came to the rescue. She picked up her child who was crying. After killing Shakatasura, he's now in the I'm a little baby Leela. And she then immediately called the Brahmins. The Brahmanas were already there, so she requested the Brahmanas to chant auspicious, ritualistic, ceremonial mantras. And after creating auspiciousness, she took child Krishna on her lap and allowed him to drink her milk, which is what he wanted in the beginning. There's nice description of the qualifications of the Brahmanas. When Brahmanas are free from envy, untruthfulness, unnecessary pride, grudges, disturbance by the opulence of others, and false prestige, their blessings never go in vain. Just have to find a Brahmana that has those qualifications. Considering this, Nanda Maharaj then stepped in. He soberly took Krishna on his lap and invited such truthful Brahmanas to perform a ritualistic ceremony according to the holy hymns of the Samaveda, Rigveda, and Yajurveda. Then, while the hymns were being chanted, he bathed the child with water mixed with pure herbs. And after performing a fire ceremony, he sumptuously fed the Brahmanas with first-class grains and other food. So the Brahmanas were very busy that day. So here's the cart. There's Mother Yashoda picking Krishna up again. And here's Nanda Maharaj engaging the Brahmanas in their religious duties and their yajnic fires with their offering oblations into the fire and so forth. Nanda Maharaj, for the sake of the affluence of his own son, gave the Brahmanas cows fully decorated with garments, flower garlands, and gold necklaces. These cows, fully qualified to give ample milk, were given to the Brahmanas in charity, and the Brahmanas accepted them and bestowed blessings upon the whole family, and especially upon Krishna. So this is one of these paintings that has many things going on in one painting. There's the cart, of course, central over here. And the Brahmanas engaging in their brahminical duty, and anyway, many parts, the bathing of Krishna. The Brahmanas, who were completely expert in chanting the Vedic hymns, were all yogis fully equipped with mystic powers. Whatever blessings they spoke were certainly never fruitless. In one of the commentaries it says not only they were mystic yogis, they were perfected Vaishnavas. So if you can find a perfected Vaishnava and they can do some yajnas for you, then you can guarantee that their blessings will be fulfilled. So their blessings were like that, that Krishna should be very safe. Of course, it's a lila. It's giving them, Krishna is giving them some service to do in the topmost stage. Then they put the cart back together. The strong, stout cowherd men assembled the pots and paraphernalia back on the cart, set it up as before, and then the brahmanas did another yajna. They worshipped the cart. That's what the translation says. This is Garga Samhita. They worshipped the cart, meaning they invoked again auspiciousness so the cart and its purpose could be fulfilled and danger and difficulty couldn't intrude. The commentary describes that by the chanting of the holy name, this is the best means of such things in our present situation, where to create auspiciousness in one's home or in one's life or wherever it is that you are, in your car, or wherever it is that you are, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is that which creates auspiciousness for that place. It sanctifies the place and everything. So Mother Yashoda was very happy. Krishna was protected. Krishna was very happy fulfilling the desires of his devotees and liberating the Shakatasura demon. And that's the end of the chapter. So, now the discussion from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he writes in Krishna Samhita and other literature that Shakatasura indicates the load carrying mentality. Load carrying mentality is where we have bad habits, some old, some new, from this life and from previous lives, and we're laboring under those bad habits, feeling, well, that's just life, we just have some bad habits, we just have to live with it. Similarly, Shakatasura represents lethargy and dullness and in general false pride. But Krishna is very kind. When he sees that a devotee has such quality, such burden of bad habits, Krishna very kindly kicks all of that aside. Here is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Shakatasura represents bad habits. Heavy utensils were piled in the cart. It required so many stout cowherd men to put the cart together and pile up the utensils. But a mere touch of Krishna's lotus feet was enough to smash the cart to pieces and scatter all the utensils. Similarly, we have been carrying the burden of our bad habits for many lives. With our own efforts, we cannot do anything. But by Krishna's mercy, all our bad habits can be destroyed in a moment. The little illustration at the bottom is one of the skits. In fact, I think it's the first skit that I saw. Visited the Boston Temple from college. And they, on the Sunday program, they did a skit called Drop Your Rocks. Some of you know the skit. And it was really nice. There's the devotees having kirtan over on one side of the temple room. Like, you know, the audience is there, so they're having kirtan, and they point in the distance and they see someone, hey, look at that guy over there. And they all, oh yeah, there's a guy. And they hear the guy, oh, my heavy load, oh. and they say, hey, come on over and join us. Oh, I got to carry my rocks. And then, you know, well, why don't you drop your rocks and come and join us? No, I've got to carry my rocks. Then he puts it from this shoulder to that shoulder and he feels better. But then they go over to where he is and just have kirtan, and he gets enlivened by the kirtan. He puts his rocks down and joins the kirtan. Something like that. So Krishna's holy name, and Krishna in his pastime with Shakatasura can do that. So bad habits and laziness and dullness, and when we take up devotional service, this is something similar to the anarcha-nivritti process, or things that are the unwanted things can be eliminated. First is establish a relationship with Krishna under proper guidance. That's the putana, Krishna protecting one from false teachings and false teachers. But when one is properly situated or begins that process of establishing in a proper relationship, there is obstacle of our own bad habits and contaminations, and Krishna will protect such a sincere devotee. He may do it himself, or in this illustration of Maharaj Parikshit, he may do through his devotee. And we don't have to hold on to bad habits and let them be engaged in moderation. It doesn't have to be like that. It can be a life of purity. That will bring us closer to Krishna. If that's our sincere desire, Krishna will give us that direct protection. So that's not a nice picture. We'll just go on to the next one. Garga Samhita describes who Shakatasura was in his previous life, and he was Prahlad's brother, the son of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyaksha's son, a cousin of Prahlad. And one time, for fun, he went to the hermitage of Lomasha Muni, or Lomasha Rishi, and he just started grabbing trees and uprooting trees and smashing them to the ground. He was having some fun. So the Brahmana, very powerful Brahmana, cursed him, said, oh, evil-hearted one, become bodiless. At once, his body fell like a snake skin to the ground. So he's in this bodiless condition. So that means like a ghost. The king of demons then fell at the Brahmana's feet and said, O sage, O ocean of mercy, please be kind to me. I did not know your power. Please give me a body. Lomasha Muni said, okay, you can have a body of air. And then, when the Chakshusha Manvantara is over and the Vaivasvata Manvantara has come, Lord Hari's foot will give you liberation. So for that long duration of time, he had the body of air. And in that body of air condition, he somehow became one of Kamsa's deputed agents. So Kamsa sent Shakatasura to Gokul to try to kill Krishna. But Krishna knew his intention, and before he had the opportunity to try to harm Krishna, Krishna freed him from that condition. And being touched by the foot of Krishna, he became purified. And went back to Godhead, as we heard from Garga Samhita, just by contact with Krishna's lotus foot. So the first day there was some request or question practical application points, please. So practical application is, as stated, we all know very well what our particular variety of bad habits are. Not singular, but plural. And first of all, there has to be a desire to get on the other side of them. Otherwise, they'll certainly remain. And if they remain, they don't just stay stagnant, they increase. We all know that one too. And we may try to improve and eliminate those bad habits and find we can't do that on our own. So this pastime is something that by meditating upon, Krishna has the power to remove our own impurities in the form of bad habits. Specifically by reciting or hearing or remembering this pastime and Krishna's capacity and willingness to use that capacity to remove our bad habits, despite our inability to do so, we can become freed from the material condition and come closer to Krishna. Become attached to Him instead of to the bad habits, and doing them again and again, and lifetime after lifetime, and having them bind us to repeated birth and death. We don't have to keep doing that. We have to want to go beyond that set of bad habits, whatever ours are, and take Krishna's mercy. Help us overcome our shortcomings and bad habits. Okay, so any questions or discussion on this? Yes?
Guru Maharaj, when we hear the mercy of Krishna in the case of Putana, or even in the case of Shakatasura, looks like Krishna consciousness is easy, but I always wonder why we struggle. Krishna is so kind, but why there is so much struggle for the devotee, aspiring devotee? I understand the question.
I'm waiting for you to finish. You're done? Okay. Because our desire is not so strong. We have attachments to our impurities. Krishna consciousness, the preliminary part is Krishna consciousness is very easy. Prabhupada said it's easy for the, it's simple for the simple. You know how the rest goes? It's difficult for the crooked. So it's our attachments. The difficulty is letting go of our attachments. We want to keep our attachments and become Krishna conscious or become free from the sufferings of life. It's not going to happen that way. We have to let go of them, or just Krishna can rip them away from us. Our attachments. And then we go, oh! Therefore, it's gradual. It's easy, but it's gradual because Krishna's easing us along. And our willingness to surrender is also, hopefully, gradually growing. But our willingness to surrender or submit ourselves to Krishna's kind care may be intermittent. Sometimes not so much. Sometimes not so much. And when it's not so much, these bad habits proliferate. They grow like weeds really fast. And then that we get scared, and so then we surrender to Krishna some more again for a while, then feel comfortable and then become a little relaxed and casual and complacent, and then the weeds start to grow again. It's our unsteadiness in devotion, or stated conversely, it's our attachment to the temporary that makes it difficult or a struggle. Taivihi shugunamai mama maya doratyaya mama eva eva panjati maya mitam tarantita. At once. Anything else?
But he had the body of air. How did Kamsa really recognize that part?
I don't know. Maybe he put a jacket on or something. a cloak.
So he didn't have any form?
He had a body of air. It doesn't describe, so I can't answer, you know, how Kamsa figured it out. He had a body of air. Kamsa had some subtle abilities. He had some mystical power, some abilities like that himself. And could detect something that you and I probably couldn't detect. He was powerful. He was a demon, but he was powerful. And had strengths and resources that normal people don't have. Anything else?
Maharaj, yesterday you mentioned that in Goloka, there are no demons, but there were situations were created.
So there's rumors of demons.
So, the purpose of having such incidents is to enhance the lila in Goloka?
And we're speaking now Goloka?
Yes.
I mentioned it, but when there is the sense of danger, what does that do? It increases. Yeah, shelter taking. It intensifies. Krishna! Shelter taking in Krishna. Just think of things in this world when there's some calamity. Very vivid in my mind is when 9/11 took place in New York City. Everyone became really spiritual for about a month. And then complacency set in. Because the sense of safety and protection, well, we live in Manhattan, and who's going to do anything here in Manhattan? It's going to happen over there, or somewhere else, but not here. Not right in our own little, like, safe haven of Manhattan. That was gone. So, they were more tuned in to God conscious, taking shelter of Him. All over the city. At every street, you heard me say this, yes? In street crossings, you know, they have walk, don't walk. And when it's normal time, people don't pay any attention to that. They just walk. If there's no car coming, they walk. And if the car coming a little bit of ways, they have to wait and they'll just walk instead. And anyway, so, or run. But this was, they would stop. And they had at each corner a little shrine set up for prayer. And the ones coming that way, a little shrine set up for the, and right at one place, the Buddhists and the Muslims and the this ones and the that ones all had their little thing in one little place. And they would stand there and pray. They have safe crossing across the sidewalk, across the, or whatever they were praying. So that's when people are materially motivated. Now when there's no material motivation, still the sense of hardship, difficulty, danger, whatever, it intensifies shelter taking. So it's, as you said, to enhance the lila, but specifically the lila of Krishna will protect me, or Krishna is my protector. It intensifies that. It's already there. It intensifies that. Okay.
I thought in Goloka there will be dualities of nature.
There isn't. Who said there is? And therefore it's a rumor. It's arranged by Yogamaya so that there's this sense of something like that. For a purpose. The purpose you mentioned. Yes?
Maharaj, thank you for the nice class. From a practical application perspective, Maharaj, we can contemplate on our bad habits, prioritize them. And
this is my favorite one.
Take the Krishna book and read these pastimes. So the more I read this and contemplate on this, Krishna should help us conquer these bad habits. Is that a practical modification?
I would say it a little bit differently than you did. We don't contemplate our bad habits. We contemplate Krishna, and then in light of contemplating Krishna, we recognize, whoa, I'm way off the standard. And so, let me try. It's just like, let's take chanting. I know what chanting means. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, hear the glories of the chanting of the holy name, but unfortunately have no attraction. So I'm trying to become, my cultivation as a devotee is to become attached to and attracted to and devoted to Krishna. So there are some parts of my life that are nice like that, and some other parts that are not like that. I'm distracted by... So when we're striving to go closer to Krishna, it naturally illumines where the shortcomings are, or the impurities are. If we're trying to do the first, the second one becomes more clear to us than if you make it your business to inventory your bad habits. Make your first effort, strive to go closer to Krishna, become more centered and fixed upon Krishna. That's first. Doing that, where the shortcomings are will become more clear. And then third is strive to overcome them and recognize, I need some help. So one of the ways is simply by calling the holy name more sincerely. And to complement that, to assist that, is recognizing Krishna has this ability, so specifically A and B. Hearing the pastimes helps us overcome that shortcoming. Just hearing the pastime. But then another is, B, recognize that Krishna has the capacity. Krishna is ready to use that capacity with us, certainly with Shakatasura. So why not for us? So we call upon that particular capacity of Krishna to help us. That's the practical application. So it becomes part of what we do. And part of what we do, all of the what we do, including this part of what we do, will help us come to that pure stage. But the starting point is to want, the first step, A, is the word, number one, is desire to become pure. If we desire for mediocrity, that's what we're going to get. If we desire to become pure, then we'll realize where the next thing is, where our impurities are, and try to overcome the impurities, realize we can't call with helplessness upon Krishna to relieve us of our impurity, bad habits. Anything else? Okay, Hare Krishna. Oh, yes.
I'm just trying to think, now, because of so much education, there's...
Education or agitation?
Education.
Education, okay.
So, this I'm able to identify what the shortcomings are. And
oh, spiritual education. That's the other kind, okay.
Okay. So, but one thing always bothers me. Now I'm trying to go beyond. But whatever I've done before, it's like there are some damages already done because of my loads.
Yes.
So, what should I do?
You pay. You pay the price. You accept it's there. You can't go back and redo it. You know, lamenting about all that isn't going to do anything. It's there. It's a price you have to pay for from foolishness, whatever that is or was. And you go toward, you just, tattena kampam susamikshamano, that verse. I accept that due to my past misdeeds, there's going to be some reaction. Let it come. I'm not going to invest consciousness in reducing it, mitigating it, you know, doing something about it. It's in Krishna's hand, whatever it is. Let me instead invest consciousness in taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. And that's the means of taking care of the residual effect better than anything else you may try to, you know, manage, maneuver, or, you know, control and make it different or something, cover it up or whatever. You know, just let me go towards Krishna. It takes strength from Him to not repeat the same foolishness and continue the position of His faithful servant. And whatever the reaction that's due to me from that, let it come. My business instead is taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. It's a sincere and humble service. Does that help? Okay. Okay. Well, thank you all very much. Prabhupada ki jai.